Opinions expressed on this show are those of the authors. Any content provided by our bloggers or authors are of their opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, municipality, individual, or anyone or anything.
He's a surgeon. He's a 100-ton boat captain. He's a lieutenant on Seaside Heights Beach Patrol in New Jersey. He's a member of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. He's Dr. Michael Ketchmar. Need answers to your medical questions? We have them. Listen in to hear latest on medical topics related to all that and more.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Ketchmar. Welcome to Life Gardening with Dr. Michael Ketchmar. And today's date is September the 26th, the year of our Lord, 2022. And thank you for watching us. We have the whole crew today.
How long have you been married for now?
I don't know how many hours, but your head is being cut off. So
yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
So
why don't you show everyone your ring?
Then we have Sean. Let's say hello to everybody first. We have Sean here today. Sean, thank you for being here. And we have Tyler. So I'll show the.
You got any ice in that ring? Kiss the ring.
Anyway, thank you for joining us today. This is Life Gardening with Dr. Michael Ketchmar and the crew, lifeguards who are off duty. We just finished up our season, actually. This weekend was the last day, Sunday, and so we're officially closed. It was some big ocean. We had a few drownings last week, but this week, I don't think anybody drowned this weekend with the big ocean.
No.
A lot of lifeguards stayed on the weekend. I think that made a big difference. I know that La Valette was there, we were there, and Spring Lake. So a lot of our local beaches had patrols, albeit, only small, but they kept people out. And what, like we say, stay out and stay alive. And so a lot of people, I don't think there was one drowning in this weekend, which there was some big ocean, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, no drowning is good news, but also good news, Ketchmar, what happened this weekend?
So I got married.
You're waiting on that.
Yeah, I got married this weekend. So we did a little something different with the marriage. It was unique.
Now, whose idea was this?
My wife. And so she wanted to have it on a lake. Her friend owns a bed and breakfast in Spring Lake.
Shout out Spring to Lake. Walden on the pond.
Right, Spring Lake in New Jersey. Not Spring Lake Heights, Spring Lake. And it's beautiful, beautiful setting. And she wanted to have it there. And I said, well, first of all, an outside wedding is a big risk. September is a great time of year. So the risks are minimal. That's why we had it this time of year. But anytime you have a wedding outside, you're taking a big risk. That's number one. I said, listen, let's have it inside. Then she said also she wants to be in the boat. She wants to be brought along the lake up to the venue, which is right on the lake, in my lifeguard boat. And I have a Van Dyne lifeguard boat. And I just had it tripped out, actually. Had some new foot braces put in. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, are you sure? And so then I said, listen, I got to have at least six lifeguards. I have to have two to row and basically four to catch, you know. And because, you know, launching the boat and picking the boat up, it's bad enough in the ocean. But, you know, when we do competition, you know, you want to have at least four guys catching the boat. And of course, she's in a gown. And, you know, she's being
lifted
up.
You can't let the bride get wet on her wedding day.
No. So we were a little concerned about that. So we got together six lifeguards, and we trained like for a tournament. And I think it really came out good.
Who was it that you trusted to row your bride?
Well, you. So we had Tyler. I trusted. You guys are part of the show. I mean, I would never. You wouldn't. You would. You know, it'd be mutiny on a bounty. So we had. But here's the key. Here's the key out of the audience. Who was the bow and who was the stern? Now, normally, the power guy, which, you know, a lot of times is the bigger guy, would be in the stern. That's the power, and the steering is the bow. So, but I think you guys did it the other way around. Where were you, Sean? I don't remember.
I was in the stern. We were going real fast on that thing where it was necessary, right, Tyler?
Right. So what happened was we trained.
It was all about speed that day.
We trained. Here's the thing about the lake. We had some unknowns before we did this. The one unknown is how deep the lake is. So I got different reports. One person told me, listen, I think it's very shallow because the lake freezes like in 2 seconds. Other people said, oh, I've seen kayaks out there, nothing big. So Friday we did some test runs and we realized that the lake's very shallow. And
we did about 10 test runs, and I don't think we got stuck once.
No. The edges of the lake are very shallow, a couple inches, and it gets a little bit deeper. I'd say probably the deepest part of that lake is 3 foot. That's mm-hmm. how, and shallow. And the tide goes up and down a little bit. There's actually a tide there because it is hooked up to the ocean, but way, way down. It's called Wreck Pond. And there's some big fish in there. And so it was Tyler and Sean. So they rode the boat. Anyway, I just want to say, here's our whiteboard. We always, Catch got married 9/24/22. So we have that in perpetuity. So we got some clips. So we're going to show you a couple of things. We're going to talk about it, show some clips today. And then I think we're going to do a nice 15, minute YouTube video and pump that out. But there was some memorable things we could talk about. But why don't we watch? So here's the premise. So what happened was is that we have an outside venue. We had tents. Everybody was set up. We actually had a violinist and somebody playing a cello music while she was being rode in. And you're going to see me standing there. They come around. You might hear in the background a train whistle. There's a train that goes by coming down to, I think it goes down to Point Pleasant. And we're like one or two stations above that. And she gets out of the boat, comes up. We have our vows, and then she walks out. So what else? What else was going on there? It was a beautiful day. We were worried about this hurricane coming up.
Yeah, the day before the wedding, there was a lot of northeast wind that we...
howling.
Yeah. That still didn't affect us on the test runs that we were doing.
No, the wind was howling. It was like, it was up to 20 knots, and it was cold. It was damn cold that night. Not our night. It turned out to be 70 degrees.
Yeah, the wedding was great, the weather.
Blue skies. Probably by night it was maybe like, got maybe 68, 69. Mm-hmm. We had some heaters, but we didn't even need them. And, we packed it in at 10 o'clock. There's a noise ordinance. But by that time, everybody was, partied out anyway. And it really came out really great. I think that really can't complain about anything. I'm trying to think. Was there anything? So we had the great food was great. We had outside bathrooms. They brought in with a truck, and it's all air conditioned and everything. It's really nice. And what else did they do? We had the food. We had the dance floor. And it was great. It was amazing. The guys putting the tent up were amazing, and
the venue was cool because like the dance floor was separated from like the sitting area, which mm-hmm. is all outside mm-hmm. by like a line of bushes or shrubs that you couldn't see over. So it gave a good nice separation.
Yeah. What was also nice was that the lake was calm like a lake.
Yeah, it was very calm.
Everybody was taking pictures after the wedding. Having people take their pictures with the lake in the background. So you'll see some of that. Actually, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And the DJ was good. And I'm trying to think what else. And the other thing is we had the granddaughter. She sang Alleluia.
Yeah,
clip of that. And again, we'll get some more. It was very, very beautiful. She's 9 years old, and she got up there, and she sang. But the key here, so for everybody who's listening, this is a Van Dyne lifeguard boat, 1995. It's been remodeled. It's refinished. It's like a beautiful piece of furniture. And she got in on the other side of the lake, and she was rowed in to the wedding, and that's how she came up. On a dock, we made a makeshift dock. I built a makeshift dock, and she walked up, and that was it. So you want it with no further ado? You want to show some? So we'll start it. So here we go. So we'll talk through it a little bit. So which one we start now? So
all right, you want to talk? Okay. Just parked the boat, waiting for the bride. It's going to be like 15 minutes.
What'd you think of the outfits?
I loved it. The outfits are great.
This was a last minute decision. We bought sailor hats and full turtlenecks for this.
That was great.
Caspar and his wife did it.
You guys could have been right into movies. This was great.
I was walking around with a cigar all night.
Yeah, that was great. All
right, so this now we have us launching.
So this is launching.
So we got a couple lifeguards in the water here with waders. So the whole time we were sitting there, because there was like a 15-20 minute gap between when we got over there and by the time Virginia walked over with the rest of the lifeguards that were going to help us launch. People were walking by and just laughing their asses off when they saw us. Cause we were like kicked back. I was like sitting there with my feet up, sitting on the forecastle seat, the one in the front. Is that what it's called?
No, the bow seat.
The seat at the very tip of the boat.
No, that'd be the bow seat. Just the bow seat.
No. The bow seat is where you row from.
No. That was another. All would be bow seat. I don't know what you call it.
Well,
but anyway.
I'm sitting there just like kicked back with my feet up on the oars. Right. And I saw one dude drove by in his truck, did a double take, turned around at the end of the street, and then came back.
Did you check it out? And you could see
him just like throwing his head back laughing when he saw us.
Yeah. The thing with this is that the reason why you guys waited is that the wedding planner who we had was thinking that you guys were going to come back and then they were going to launch the boat. And I go, no, that you can't launch the boat. Those are the guys who have to launch. So he's waiting for you guys to come back because you had a catch.
Oh, he's waiting for the other guys.
So I finally realized, like, because it was getting long, like, what's going on? You know, so go ahead. So
what else? What were those two ladies saying?
Yeah, we had two ladies who actually stopped and parked and just watched for the next. They got there like 2:50. I think we wanted to launch around 3:00. They just sat there for 15 minutes and just like were looking at us, taking pictures.
Wow.
Just loving it.
Yeah, that's something though. So let's. I want to see them.
So this is us launching into.
So it's very, very. So you guys should have went more perpendicular, but you finally got some water there. It's very shallow, guys. I mean, the water's like 2 foot here. See, you're going sideways. You should have went straight out.
Yeah, but again, our runs were really quick, apparently, for when we tested the day before. The guy wanted us to go longer for the
row. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
So we get out there, and like, you know, now Sean and I are just talking to Virginia, who was, credit to her, like, totally calm the other time, even when
calm as a lake.
Even when we had our little snafu that we'll get to later, she was like rock solid. Did not seem nervous at all. She was loving it so much. So we get out there, and I'm like, "So Virginia, what kind of music would you like for your voyage?" And she goes, "Do you have any sailor songs that you can sing?" So I just started. What was it? What was the song I started?
What will you do with a drunken sailor?
Oh, well, no, I put that on our Instagram story. Yeah. What will you do with a drunken sailor? No, what was the one? Soon may the wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea. And then she, she was loving it. She thought it was so funny. All right, so that was us launching. And then this is some video of us coming around the other side.
That's the train.
And you can hear the train in the background. And then this is us pulling her up to the dock here. So in between that launch video and this video here and the video you just saw. So this is us pulling her up to the dock. But in between here, Sean, do you want to?
Yeah, we just hugged. We were trying to take up extra time. Everyone said that we went too fast. So we hugged the opposite side of the lake, which is also what we were planning, and went a little too close to the landline and stuck ground.
Got stuck in the mud. So and thank God, most people didn't. No, nobody really. What? Only a whose few people noticed.
That? Well, you know, the guy in the bow seat wasn't really steering. He was getting a little distracted talking.
Well, I was trying to, you know, comfort our passenger.
True.
Yeah. I'm very sure.
So, we got stuck at about 3 feet away. So we just stopped moving, and I'm like, "Nah, we're good. We can row out of here." And I'm just like pulling dirt and rocks. And Sean's like, "I got to get out and push us." I'm like, "We're not doing that." So we just sat there for like 45 seconds, just pulling water and going nowhere.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where we're like, all right, we got to do something. Like, it's probably getting pretty nervy up there.
We were imagining Cashmore freaking out. Apparently you weren't.
No, I was going to make these guys take their pants off and walk out there and get you. Or I would have done it, but you know. But I knew, I'm just saying, these guys, I told them stay away. I knew where you were going. It was going to be bad because just before you went, there was these beautiful white swans that flew in and landed right where you were going to go.
Really?
And they were standing. You could see their bellies. They were like walking. So how big is a swan?
It was like 3 inches.
Yeah. 3. I mean, it was like, you know, maybe 6 inches
of
water.
Yeah, it was seriously shallow. So it got to a point where like Sean's like, I'm going to get out and push us out. And I was like, oh, this is going to look so bad. Like we rehearsed this 10 times.
A lot of people couldn't even see it. But
we were. I was like freaking out because you know how unstable those boats can be. But, you know, luckily, we were so dug in that the boat was pretty stable.
Yeah.
So Sean hopped out, pushed us out, and then when he got back in, I had to make sure, you know.
Right.
Well, Sean had to make sure that I was pushing my weight the other way. He's like, lean the other way. I'm like, I got it, bro. I got it. So he gets back in the boat. Now there's mud all over his pants.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. I felt so bad, dude. Yeah. I felt so bad. And then
we were really worried about making sure Virginia didn't have any mud on her dress.
Yeah, but it all worked out. We got it out, and we were able to push ourselves out, and then, you know, then we have this
beautiful
moment.
Scene. Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah, let's play it. So that's really nice. So it comes in. We're back oaring it. So this is the venue. We got four lifeguards. These are all lifeguards catching right there. Brown. We got Nick. We got Frank and Kenny. So let's just do that again. Hit that again. Hit that. Let me see. So here she is. She's coming up.
Yeah, I like to think, I said this a couple times on Saturday, I like to believe that us getting stuck made that round of applause like that little much louder.
Yeah, it was. A lot of people were fired up and they were wondering what was going on. I said that was planned. That was all that, you know.
we walk up, we're putting our shoes on, and one of the caterers like taps me on the shoulder. He was like, he's like, man, that was a good job. I'll tell you what though, if you guys dropped her out of that boat, it would have been a different story.
He said
it was a little tense up here while you guys were stuck out there.
So show the rest.
Now here we have Virginia, this is you guys giving your vows.
You, Michael.
This is a great scene too.
To be my wedded husband.
The whole
thing. Having to
awesome.
Hold from this day forward, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. To love and to cherish till death do us part.
You getting emotional, Catch?
Nah.
Holy word.
It's just what it was.
You were getting emotional that day.
Nah, I was just worried about you. I was ready to.
So yeah, that's you guys giving your vows. Here you are walking back down the aisle. Big round of applause. Clap, clap, clap. Donna Wooly Yelovich commented, of course, Virginia is calm, cool, and collected. She has to be married to Mike.
Right. That's right. And this is his granddaughter, 9 years old. Now, that got me emotional. I love that kid so much. I mean, I give my life for her. And you know what I wish? Talking about that, I want to get somebody who videoed the speech I gave and the girls gave, everybody gave, you know. So let's.
And then this is just a still of us right before we launched.
Look at that's a great picture, man. Just leave that on for a while. So we got. Let's just talk, you know, who we got here. So we got in the bow of the boat, which is the front of the boat. We have Tyler, and then to his left we have Nick. These are all lifeguards now. Then we have Sean sitting in the stern seat. I would say the next one in row is the lifeguard is Frank in the back, right? Frank,
right there behind Virginia.
Right behind you. Then we have Kenny. Dougherty, he's former lifeguard, and then we have Brown and Jesse Brown, and then of course the lovely bride Virginia, and there's our Van Dyne boat, and I think that's right there is a beautiful, and look at the lake, the beautiful day, the bright blue skies, and the Lord was really, you know, he blessed us this day. And
I felt bad for Kenny because on his way, he lives like hour and a half up north. On his way down, he got a call because he's a lineman, and he got a call that said, all right, we're shipping out tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. to go to Georgia to wait and see what this storm does in Florida.
Oh, he's going
to
work the line. So, right.
So, you know, he's on his way down to this wedding, expecting to spend the night down on the shore, hang out with all of us, gets this call. So he had to leave around like 7 or 8. They leave. Then he goes, meets up with the crew at 6 a.m. They're sitting around for a couple hours. They get a call like, we're not shipping out till like later in the week, so you guys can go home.
Put them in the middle there, our picture, yeah.
What?
And I just want to see our picture, you know? I don't know why it's not
the video.
There.
Oh, we can just go back.
Oh. So, my brother does the same thing. My brother does the video. He does he works for New Jersey Central Power and Light, and they get called out all the time, and they got to go.
That's a dangerous job, huh? Right?
But let me just, can you go back with the one scene? I just want to show the boat again where it's coming in.
The train?
Right here. No, so go back to the one before that. Let's do this with the train. That's it. That was all. We have a lot more. We just wanted to get ready for the show. We got to do a lot of editing, and so the turning. Look how beautiful that is. A beautiful picture right there. Now, if you look, there was people across the way watching.
There was people lined up everywhere. The rumor of these two psychos sitting in sailor costumes in a rowboat.
I'll tell you what. That fit Spring Lake to the T. I mean, this is so classic. Later,
everyone walking by was like, Sean's like,
Ahoy! Yeah. And everyone walking by, there were these two kids riding by on bikes, and this one kid had a lampshade over his head, and they were singing some weird song. And they stop and look at us, and it's like a Mexican standoff for a second.
We both just look at each other.
I look at him, and I'm like, who's weirder?
Yeah, yeah. I can just tell you right now, that house, those houses right there are $5 million houses.
Well, why don't you talk about that? The house of the venue, the story about that place.
Well, just keep going, but show, just go a little bit more. Go to the next scene. I just want to.
We already watched all these.
Yeah, but I want to watch it again. I just want to see. It's not bad. You know, look at that.
The venue.
We got to appreciate this. Look how nice that is. Look at her. She's. And you. Wait, now here. This is. I love what you guys. The other scene after that where you take her out. This is weird. This was the crucial point. We planned this. She had to turn around. And then you got one more after that.
I was joking around with Sean before she got in the boat. I was like,
she came out.
I was like, yo, should I pull out my phone and start playing the music that the band was playing on the Titanic when it went down?
No. So it came out perfect. Yeah. The
talk about the venue.
House, yeah.
So the venue where it's at, you could the venue, it was a evidently back at right after the Civil War, there was a lot of homes down there that people couldn't afford. And they were sold, to people up in different parts of the country. So this particular house where the venue's at was cut up, put on a barge, and sent up here to.
Oh, they floated it up here.
Yeah, yeah.
On a river, on the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. Let me see. I guess they brought up to Mississippi and then by trains after that. I mean, you could go back in the day. You could go up to Mississippi, up to the Great Lakes. Over to New York, there was the
Wasn't
canal.
That like the Intercoastal Waterway or
no,
something?
No, that's something different. That's something different. But
where is the Intercoastal Waterway?
Well, that starts in Barnegat Bay, or actually Point Pleasant, goes all the way down to Florida. So it's all the inner water.
Yeah, but is that the coast or is that?
No, it's inside.
It's all rivers and shit.
No, it's the bay. Like it's Barnegat Bay is part of the Intercoastal Waterway.
So Barnegat Bay.
Then you got to slip out. Then you got to slip out a little bit in the Delaware River or Delaware. Then it gets back in. So it's all along the coast of the United States. It's very similar. You have a barrier island and you have a bay inside, and then you got the mainland. So it's the bay. It's the water in between the ocean, and that's where they carved out for the boat. So I'm very sure they did a combination. But they could have put it on a big ship and just, ships and brought it through the ocean, too. I don't know exactly. She said barges. It could have been trains. I suspect back in that day, something big like that.
Probably a boat.
Could have been a little bit, yeah. Because you got to remember, it's 1865, 67, 68. You didn't have, machine. You didn't have cars or trucks. It would have been wagons. You had locomotives and steam. So you might have had some steam, trucks. But it was barges. Ships. So it was brought up to Spring Lake, and they assembled it, and they made a house. It was somebody's private house. It turned into a bed and breakfast. I don't know what year. So that's how it got.
Big ass house.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's another place there called the Spring Lake Inn, which is another bed and breakfast, and that was moved actually from one end of town to the other, and they moved them on logs and stuff like that. Both of these places are not plumbed. Like you look in the hallways, there's the furniture's like lopsided. None of them are straight.
We were looking at. It's weird how like houses like that are made because the bedrooms are literally just a bed and like a window. There's like no thought of a TV or anything. Like,
No.
You probably didn't spend too much time in your room.
No.
The way the living rooms are set up, it's like they still had like the classic furniture in the house.
But Sean, you got to remember,
the furniture is like on legs, tight knit, like so everyone can walk around the couches and not like walk through.
Catch you ever see this?
Are sitting,
but this is pretty incredible. This is the Indiana Bell Building. I don't know where this is.
Rotated in 1930.
So, but this is incredible. They rotated this building. Let me screen share this.
Yeah, they had the technology back in those days. But remember, Sean, when they built these places, there was no air conditioning. There was no running water. There was no, toilets like we have today. You have outhouses. So when they built them, you would have bring water, you boil water. Or when they started to get bathrooms, that was after, they started to get them in. They had bathrooms back in the Roman Empire, but everyday housing, that's probably started right around after the war.
Yeah, I was mainly talking about like the interpersonal, like the way the houses are built.
So look at this. They took this building and they rotated it 90 degrees over the course of, I don't know, several inches a day, but they never shut off electricity or plumbing.
to this building. So, like, anyone that was working in there was still going to work every day while this was happening.
Well, I don't know how to get the water. How incredible is that? I don't know how they did the water, but,
yeah. I mean, if you're doing it at, what, an inch or two a day.
Yeah, I guess so. They could just reconnect it. Yeah, that's a good point.
I got a good one. How long do you guys think it took them to build the Empire State Building?
Wasn't it like 18 months?
It was less than.
Really? What's your guess for that?
Yeah, that's a good point. A year, maybe a year.
And there was not one death either,
right?
I think
I know within 10, I don't want to say, because I want you to Google it anyway.
But when you talk about the Empire State Building, too, like all these buildings that were built, they had no air conditioning. They had to open the windows and get air. Yeah, so they didn't have air conditioning back in those days.
Just look up how long it took to build it.
That's wild.
Does it say?
It was completed in a record-breaking 1 year and 45 days. Is this just because there weren't regulations?
No,
like they could just speed through shit?
People could die. No,
like, all right, now let's look at how long.
They could build stuff pretty quick.
The New World Trade Center has about?
Yeah.
The Freedom Tower?
Yeah, how long did that take? So
14 years from proposal to finish. No, they broke ground. Oh, no, this is the World Trade Centers.
Still.
Yeah.
So the World Trade Centers.
Fairly recent.
Broke ground in 1966. How long did it take to build the Freedom Tower?
8 years.
$4 billion in 8 years to build between the start of construction in 2006 and the first tenants moving in 2014.
Isn't that crazy?
Can people live in the Freedom Tower? Are there apartments in there?
I don't know.
So let's look up how expensive that is.
So let's stay on topic here. So with the building, the venue was in a bed and breakfast called Walden on the Park.
Yeah, no, but it's cool how the living rooms are, like, the furniture is very tight-knit within all the rooms where there are living spaces. And it's just, like, clearly more about, like, what people, like, doing or talking to each other about rather than, a TV.
Yeah, if you want to see an old hotel, go down to Cape May. There's a place called the Congress Hall. And that was built before air conditioning was available. So you have a big, big hallway. You have screen doors for your front door, and the windows open up. You know, and bed and breakfast, too. Remember, that was not built to be a bed and breakfast also. That was built to be somebody's house.
Yeah, but that's what
I'm saying. So the bedrooms are small. You know, a kid's bedroom. They try to do the best they can and move walls and knock things down. But what gets me is, I don't understand how it's cheaper to put a house, knock it down, put it on barges, and bring it up to New Jersey as opposed to making it.
Maybe not cheaper, but like you could say this wasn't my house was imported. Like
I don't know. Maybe they were looking for the classic house to build, but it might have been really hard to mill wood. But you know, most things in life are not going to happen unless it's economically feasible. And so I don't know. But I tried to ask the question. But let's get back to the wedding and everything. It was a beautiful venue. So Virginia, who's my wife, her girlfriend owns this place, and so she really accommodated us, made it nice. There was rooms there. We stayed there. It was just, she really made it nice. What she did before it, you guys don't know, she had a ton of landscaping done, and all that brickwork that was there, was all new. That's brand new. And where Virginia walked up, that was all
great. It looked brand new. Yeah.
It's all brand new. And, of course we should have pictures of the dock that I built, my dock. So
you might be able to see in that clip,
a couple pallets with some rocks. It looked classy though.
What we're going to do is I got a lot of people who were at the wedding. They're sending us all their video clips, and we're going to put together a montage and put out a video.
Tyler, what did you say? That it's a fine line between,
there's a fine line between rustic and redneck.
Yeah. And there was with that dock.
That dock was rustic, but it was a couple inches away from being redneck.
Yeah. Well, what I was really impressed with was, when the guys were putting the tents together. So we got tents, and what we did is we put chandeliers in there. You know, I wanted that, and that kind of was like, talk about lipstick on a pig. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a tent. How do you spruce up a tent? You know. So and I said, you guys.
The Edison bulbs were a nice touch.
Yeah. So we had the LED lights, but I said, can you guys got some kind of like I said chandeliers. I was kidding. You know, I wanted some kind of something decorative. He goes, oh yeah, we got chandeliers. I go, okay, I want three of them. And then the other thing was the dance floor was really neat. But I tell you, when you were dancing, did you feel it? You were kind of like,
Did you?
You kind of like go, you know, I didn't really have much to drink.
I'll tell you what, if we weren't there, you would have had no one on that dance floor.
Yeah, I know. That's why, well, my brother was really happy that you guys were there. And that's something that's interesting about a wedding. You know, and I highly recommend that to people. You're going to have a wedding or a party. You know, you want to get a diverse crew, you know. Like, to me, I would have had just the whole beach patrol there. I mean, it would have been a lifeguard, you know. You know how I'm at. But we had to invite other people. And, you guys really set a good tone. The other thing that was really nice, like I said, we had a dance floor. It was a little crooked. And we had a DJ. The guy who was really weird. Not weird. I shouldn't say that. Maybe even eccentric, but I guess he has to be that way. It was the photo booth guy. Now this guy—he
was a bit of a character.
He's a character, you know. And I talked to him, and when I first met him, you know, and I didn't harm. It was, you know, Virginia took care of it. And he's somebody's cousin or whatever. Actually, he stayed at the place. You know, we comped him. You know, for because he had no the guy couldn't go anywhere. You know, but he had, you know, what he did is we're gonna have all of that video. And it's going to be on a card. We're going to be showing that. So everybody who's doing, like, being goofy and everything.
I was recording video footage photos?
No, it's not. But it'll be a photo. So he's going to give me it'll be on a zip drive. We'll have everybody's photo that was taken. And then we could make it into a montage.
That would be cool, though, if it was recording everybody while they're pretending to pose and talking about posing.
No, but you could run it quick. But there's going to be so much there. But he was funny. He, like, the things he was wearing, he was walking around talking to people.
He had his collar popped the whole night.
Yeah, he had the collar up. And
was he boozing?
I don't know.
I might have been. I liked him reading us it would go 4, 3, 2, 1 picture. He would be like a number behind and would always say, like, say cheese after the picture.
Yeah, he was like,
he had the same pitch. He was like, all right, now switch spots. And for the third photo, he'd be like, okay, now a big hug every single day. I went up there like 6 times. I have so many of those little photo strips.
So, and then I had my nephew and I had the granddaughter. And what happened was, the other thing, because they got involved in that, they were at the photo booth. You know, it was like nobody was, monitoring them. So they must have taken 100 pictures, you know. And what happened is there was mints in the bathroom. So we had these beautiful, beautiful bathrooms that were, as you well know, brand new, air conditioned, you know, 3 stalls for the women, 1 for the guy. I mean, absolutely beautiful. But we put mints in there, you know, in towels for you to wash your hands and all. And so the kids got in there and they found the mints. Well, that was the end of that. And so now they're on a sugar high. Then when the cake and cookies and the cake came out, there was, you know, they got involved and they were bouncing off the walls. But they spent a lot of time with that guy. So the photo booth guy was good.
You guys had a good cake too. Well, I love the red velvet and cream cheese icing.
Yeah, that cake, by the way, was $600 for a cake.
Sheesh.
Gee, we're gonna have that. We're gonna have a party here. We have cake left over.
Oh, Sean, wasn't your girlfriend convinced that it wasn't?
She didn't even believe it was a real thing. I was like, "What are you talking about?"
She didn't believe what?
My girlfriend
didn't
know that cream cheese icing was a thing.
She thought it was fake cake.
No, she didn't. Cream cheese icing. She didn't. Oh. She didn't think that was a real thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. The wedding cake. Yeah, it was good.
Here's a question for you. Did anyone get too drunk?
Yeah, was there anybody?
Yes, one guy.
Don't say his name. Like, no. But like, we know what
happened. Yeah, but we know him. He's a good friend of my brother, and I grew up with him too. He knew my mother, father. He's a great guy, but he had a little bit too much. But he didn't drive.
I was trying my best. I had about 10 of these.
No. But he, when we were, I tell you how bad he was. At the end, he came, and one of my other buddies, who's a state trooper, was driving him home, and he was, you know, sober, and. So he took him out, and then he came back, supposedly to use the bathroom. But the girls were cleaning up. The bartenders were cleaning up. And I see him stand there with a $100 bill trying to buy a drink. He's like, I want to buy a drink. I want to buy a drink. And the girl's like, sir, you don't have to pay for it, but we're closing up. You know, it's 10 o'clock. He goes, I want to buy a drink. And I go, I say to him, hey. I go, he goes, I want to buy you a drink. And he goes, buy my buddy a drink here. And they're like, no. I said, don't give him anything. And I went and got the state trooper. I said, listen, you got to get him out of here. But he was cute. He's trying to buy a drink.
I know who you're talking about now.
I'm not.
It was pretty funny. There's always one, but I tell you what, everybody was really good. What we did is we got some heaters too, and you know, those patio heaters, and we fired them up, and it really wasn't that cold. But some people, like I had a buddy of mine from Florida, you know, if it goes below 80 degrees, he's cold, and you know, because we have some older crowd there, so we had them around the tables. And that they were perfect. Actually, we had to turn them down a little bit. They were too
I just love how laid back it was. Like, the buffet style was perfect. You know, my least favorite part of weddings is sitting down and eating.
Nah.
Nobody wants to do that. I want to be moving around, dancing, drinking.
Yeah.
You know, eat when you want. Get your food while it's out. You know, we're not going to all sit down and make a whole meal of it.
But while I'm wondering, did you guys have any shrimp?
I didn't even know where it was.
No.
Was it good? We had so much shrimp. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we brought the shrimp. Where was the shrimp at the venue?
It leaked all over my car.
I'm telling you. No, it was out there. I saw her putting trays and trays. That, you know, next, if I ever do it again, I tell people, I would have bought another, you know, 100 pounds of shrimp. But, you know, you don't want everybody just to eat shrimp, you know. The steak was really good.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, the hors d'oeuvres. I didn't really get involved in that. Virginia did that. I went to these. She goes, oh, let's go get. See, here's another thing. So when you go get married now, guys, you're going to have to go for tasting, right? So, you know, and the last thing I want to do is this. So they drag you to this place. It's like usually on a weekend, and the caterer's there.
And it's just give you a bunch of good food.
So they bring out a
and
ton.
And you just got to say if you like it or not.
Yeah. And I said,
sounds like a terrible day.
And you know what? Here's the thing.
We'll go for you next time.
You know, so I feel bad for these people because if you don't, I mean, they bring out like $100 worth of food. And you sit there and you try this, and they're trying to, you know, impress you. And then I had to go to another one. I said, listen, I can't tell the difference. You know, I mean, those little hot dogs are, I mean, how much, you know, I mean, if you go, I said,
was that your idea, the pigs in a blanket?
No, they tell you.
I love pigs in a blanket.
They were good with the
mustard,
the honey mustard. Or no, it was the brown mustard.
You know what they do? They have a kind of thing where you want, you know, gluten free, somebody wants chicken, somebody wants seafood. If you have shrimp, a lot of shrimp, and nobody likes seafood. There's people who don't like seafood or get allergic to it, so you can't have that. You know, blah, blah. The steak was really good. I heard, I had one piece of steak, but
banging.
I heard
the steak was banging.
Yeah, and then there was, you know.
Steak was mint.
Yeah, there was a bunch of other food, and I'm just trying to remember. They gave it to our table. But yeah, it was good. So we wanted the buffet. We didn't want to have it served, especially on an outside environment.
Yeah.
And that's too stuffy. And then, of course, the hors d'oeuvres came out. That was really good. I think it was for at least an hour and a half. So what was really nice, people don't realize, too, what we did is I took her up to a French restaurant up in New York City. Now, she didn't know she was, you know, it was during Christmas time. We were supposed to go up and see the tree. So we had a whole bunch of people with us, right? This is a great story, and it dovetails into the wedding. So we go to New York, and she, you know, she wasn't in a good mood. You know, it was like cold. And we went to the tree, and it was packed. This is before Corona. And I mean, you know, we've been you know, together for now about 7-8 years. So it's nothing, like, not like we just met and got married, you know. And so it was packed. You ever been up in New York City where you can't move? It's wall-to-wall people. I mean, literally, you're getting crushed. And
it's not a good experience for anyone that's not from the tri-state.
No,
it's really nothing to like get all excited forget about the tree. Going to the city to see the tree.
So now
the ambiance of the city during Christmas time is fucking amazing. Right.
Yeah,
stay as far away from Rockefeller Center as possible.
It's
such a shit show.
No. Well, now too. So we get up there, right? And the whole idea is I have two girls from Juilliard who are going to play the violin. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
your engagement.
Right. This is engagement now. And in a French restaurant. So I talk to the guy, and the guy's like, you know, broken English. And I go, listen, this is a engagement. It's a surprise. Okay. And blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we're going to have the girls come in with the violins. And
were they playing that same Ed Sheeran song?
No. But, and then I said, and what we're going to do is we're going to have dinner, and the dessert, he's going to bring the engagement ring on a little, you know, everybody gets, you know, on the dessert. And, you know, in a decorative fashion. That was the game plan. Okay. We get to the tree. It's packed. We get in the car. It's bumper-to-bumper traffic. Now we're getting late. We're supposed to be there, say, like 7 o'clock. Well, now it's 7 o'clock and we ain't even there anywhere. And I'm driving and she's yelling at me. Now I'm going to ask her to marry me. And she's like, come on, can't you drive, you stupid ass? You know, you know how that goes, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, listen, sweetie. And my her daughter's there. I don't know how many people we had in the car. And it's like, I almost ran somebody over. You know, the taxi cabs, they cut you right off. I mean, you ever drive in New York City? You've driven it. Yeah, I mean, if anybody
being
in the world,
short kid, like being in the city too long or driving in the city is not the thing.
If you've never driven in New York City, you have an experience. If you could drive, like, you know what I'm saying? If you could make it in New York City, you could make it anywhere. If you could drive in New York City, you could.
I was leaving. Me and my sister took my niece to the Museum of Natural History around this time last year, actually, and I had to make it home by like 6 to get to work. We left at like 1:30. By like 4 o'clock, we hadn't even gotten to the tunnel yet.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there cursing with my 12-year-old niece in the back. People are cutting me off. It is the worst experience.
So I got a question for you. In New York City, what's the smallest amount of time? What's the smallest amount of time in New York City?
A New York minute.
No. Well, the time it takes for the red light to go from red to green somebody beep their horn. They can move. I mean, the light, as the second it changes, if you don't put the foot on the gas, they'll be beeping your horn. You know. Yeah. So let me finish the story about the violence. So we get there. Now we're late, right? And so first thing I do, we go to the table, and there's friggin' balloons on the ceiling and a big banner. Congratulations. It's supposed to be.
And Virginia's probably like, did someone get engaged?
No. And she's, I'm like, it must be somebody. So she goes, look at this. I go, it must be somebody's birthday, you know? Of course, it's right around where we're sitting, the table. So that's the first thing. Mm. So then it's late. So then the girls, you know, they're waiting, and look, these girls are getting paid big money, and they're like, hey, listen, it's just, you know, Saturday night, we gotta get going, you know. So we had to pay them more money. Like, I had to have the Virginia's daughter go in the bathroom and make a cash deal, you know, like, please stay longer. they were cool, but so they come out, the violins, it's so nice, and people in the bar are like, oh. The bar, you know, the restaurant, they have violins. I'm like, I'm paying for it. You know, they don't know. So she's still not getting it. So, we're finished. And of course, at this point, we're finishing up the meal, but we're not there yet. And then they bring out champagne. And I'm like, what's this about? So they bring out the champagne and a big glass, a tall glass, and she's got one, and everybody's got one, and we're going to give a toast. And I'm like, where's the ring and everything? So we said okay, and I see Brittany trying to talk to me. Now in the meantime, I had a couple cocktails, you know, I mean, not a lot, but I mean enough where I can't.
A little tuned up.
And the bar is kind of dark. I mean, you know, and she's, you know, I don't know sign. I mean, I can't read lips, you know. And she's saying something to me. So we clip the glass and we start drinking. And as Virginia is drinking, the ring is the bottom of the glass. And I see her. I mean, I can still see it in my mind. Slow motion. She's lifting up, and I can see the ring going sliding down. I grabbed the glass from her. She would have swallowed it. I mean. Can you imagine?
I've never understood the ring in the champagne. I didn't want it. That was dumb.
It's dumb.
And you're gonna choke. I'll be
giving the Heimlich maneuver. Pop pops out. I'll grab it. And I'll be like. So I stopped it. I poured it in my hand, you know, and then I kneeled on the bench. It was a bench seat, and then of course everybody clapped and blah blah blah. But being it was good. So anyway, that's the history of the violins. So. Now, 6 years later, whatever, we got married, and while she was coming in on the boat, we had the violins, two violins, and a cello. Actually, not the same girls, but they were from Juilliard, and I can tell you right now, it was just absolutely beautiful. That if you want to talk about professional, and one of my buddies who got married many, many years ago, over like 30 years ago, they had a band, and in between the band, they would have the guys and girls walk around with a violin and play it. And it was just beautiful. You know, so that was nice. And everybody really appreciated that. So that was the violin thing. So that was really one thing that I was really happy about. And, of course, the boat, my fear was that she would, you know, you guys would have dropped her in the water, which did not happen. And listen, that boats are very tippy. People don't understand. Those boats, you know, they could tip.
Rock a little. A couple people came up to us and they were like, oh, man, I wish, like, you pretended to mess up out there. But we didn't need to because we actually did myself. But I'll tell you what, Catchmar, the amount of work you had us do on Saturday, there would have been no booze if there weren't for me and Sean.
I know, you guys came in.
The amount of cases of beer we carried.
Well, you know, the thing is, we hired the bartenders, but they were good for the bartending, but they were supposed to, and the wedding guy, you know what it is? They get overwhelmed. And that's why I said, listen, I told you guys.
We were working so hard that, like, you know, because we were still carrying beer when guests started showing up. Like, people started thinking we were the help. They would, like, say, they would be like, hey, guys, how you? They saw us. They saw us kicking out on the front porch, drinking a couple of beers. They shot us a weird look.
Yeah.
Well, that was another thing. You know, nobody's supposed to see the bride. And then people are coming early. And
Virginia also was just, just everywhere, taking pictures everywhere early.
Right. Well, what happened is we had a photographer, and that girl was, you know, not managing her time. And you know, of course, they wanted to get pictures. But this is how things happen, you know, while you try to. Yeah. That's why we actually hired a weather planning on site. It would have been even worse if he wasn't there. You know, that poor guy, you see me sweating and everything. He was trying to, you know, get everything together. I think everything was fine. You know, you guys, that's why I wanted you guys to.
I got a story about how much of a control freak Catchmar is.
Why? What did I do?
We're about an hour and a half into the wedding. I think we hadn't even had dinner yet. They were calling you to do toasts. And the lights in the bathroom shut off.
Oh, that's what you were focused
on. And then this guy is behind the bathroom, like, fucking with the fuse box, trying to fix it. Me and the wedding planner are trying to pull you out, like, Catch, they need you for toasts right now. Us figure this out. Right. You're like, nah, I think we got to change a fuse or something.
Right. What it was a brand new, I mean, we paid a lot of money for that. That's a brand new, huge bathroom setup. And what happened was interesting, is that it was connected up to the generator. We had a huge generator there. You know, 9,500 watts. And what it was is that the switch for the generator for that plug was not on. So it was running on battery and then it went out. The thing is, they came to me and says, we got a major problem here. You know, there's no lights in the bathroom. It was still light out, but the toilets weren't flushing appropriately. And the one was getting backed up. And I just grabbed a hold of the wedding planner and I said, get it fixed.
Which is what you should have done.
Yeah, but it half hour went by and it wasn't fixed. Okay.
Yeah.
And I could have, if I gave it another 5 minutes, I would have figured it out because we were troubleshooting it. And I realized that there was no light in the cable. And I figured it was a generator because I had two other guys. My brother does this kind of work. And it was another guy, John. And you couldn't see the switch. But anyway, but you know, I want things to, you know, go. Oh, here's the Donna says, Steve is his brother, said he is an electrical engineer. Is that true, Mike? No, he's not an electrical engineer. My brother, it works for works. I guess you could say he works for New Jersey Central Power Light. He's a lineman.
Okay. So what Kenny does?
Yes. Well, Kenny's learning. Kenny's like on the beginning stage.
He's still in his training apprenticeship.
Right. Same thing with BJ. BJ's more advanced, but my brother is like a senior guy. So
BJ's got to be done with his apprenticeship by now, right?
Nah, I think it's a couple of years. You go for a long time. I don't know.
He's been doing it for like 5 years.
I don't know. He's getting close. But anyway, my brother's not an engineer. He works for that. But so let's go back. So then the bathroom was a little, so that was good. The violins were really good. We had the buffet. We wanted that. The food, we got it from the Spring Lake Manor. Shout out to them. High-end, beautiful, great food. And, you know, they do high-end stuff. So it was really good. The DJ, like I said, was actually another friend of the family, but he did a great job, I thought, you know, and then of course the camera, the photo booth guy, he was kind of like, he was a little, you know, he was funny. And then what else did we have there? The servers were great. The bartenders were really good. Now I didn't, you know, they did a great job. And, you know, we got two bartenders because I wanted to keep the alcohol flowing. Did you guys have any problems? Did you have any problems with
the? I just drank the Guinness all night, so I didn't even bother going.
So the other thing that we did, though, and this talk about being a little bit, you know,
that fine line between rustic and redneck.
Right. So what we did is Sean and I and Tyler, we took big bins.
Did Catch put his hands on any beer?
I don't know.
Or
if
ice?
He did. I don't.
No,
I
drank sangria. So
no. I'm talking about what we were filling the bins.
I don't know. Well, that's your job. So we filled out these bins and put them on four corners of the dance floor so people could grab them, and that was really good. And then the other thing is we had signature drinks. So my signature drink was sangria. So we had a big thing of sangria. And
are you a sangria guy?
Nah, I like it. I mean, you know, I don't drink it every day. I mean, I drink wine here now and then. And then Virginia had her drink
Aperol Spritz.
Aperol Spritz.
Which I actually had. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's not
my
fair.
My girlfriend was loving those. First yeah. She always has yeah. Aperol yeah. spritzes when we go out.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like kind of like a
it's like a bougie white girl drink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 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 But what you do is for a wedding, you're supposed to, you know, I guess this is.
Yeah, I always try the bride and groom's drinks.
Drink, right, wedding. Right, right. Of course, then we had the table over there, you know.
I just go straight for the whiskey and Budweiser.
Well, we had a lot. We had a whole mix. So Donna sent me something, says, not Steve. Steve said you went to school before getting MD as an electrical. Electrical major. My father wanted me to go into electrical engineering. The Stevens Institute of Technology, my dad worked for General Motors, and General Motors had a scholarship program. So you go work for them. If you work for General Motors, you as a son of one of the employees, they had a program, and then you work for General Motors. When you come out, you got a guaranteed job. I mean, you know, it's probably a good home run. I don't think they do that anymore. So that was pretty good. So the beer, the dance floor, the electric went out a little bit. The lights were great, the chandeliers. When it got dark, it was beautiful. We were dancing. Oh, let's not forget, the other key thing that we showed was Ava singing. Can you just pull it up real quick? Just show. So this here, I want to show you this here.
This is one of the many times Cashmore was teary-eyed.
So this is the 9-year-old granddaughter who I love so much. And she lifeguards. She's been on, you know, buoy swims. Sailing for 2 years now, and you know, look at her. She was scared. It's a joy watching her grow up, you know. So and Sean, I can't wait to see what she turns into. You know,
we saw him tearing up then when Nick showed up.
When we all like got there and he saw us all together.
Yeah, I got a little. You guys, you know what it is? I know I bust your balls when we work and everything, but a lot, you know, you guys are like my kids, and you know, for you guys to be there for me. That's, you know, I think you underappreciate it. I mean, you guys are young, but when you get older and, you know, you're getting towards the end of your, you know, years, you realize that the only thing that's really important in life is friends and family. And there's a lot of people who have no friends. And we know a couple people who, you know, there's no friends. And I mean, they got family, but I don't even know if their family likes them. So I know that and I appreciate that. And like when you guys came there, that was such a great. And I think that one of the reasons why the wedding was so nice and so great is that everybody, there was so much love there. There was so much fun. There was, you know, and everybody I invited there, all my friends, you know, we spent many, many years together through a lot of ups and downs. And that's, you know, and that's why I want to get that speech that I made. I was sincere. I didn't have to memorize that speech. That speech that I gave was from the heart. It was just, that was accurate, truthful, just history.
Well, when you said, you know, I could die right now, I could tell you really meant that.
For the kid? Yeah, yeah.
No, just when you were like, I'm just everything. So happy
yes.
like that this is happening. Yes. And yes. I could yes. literally drop dead right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everybody. And that was coming from the heart because what else do I, you know, I mean, I worked hard. I made it. You know, I mean, what I got, a beautiful family. I got a beautiful wife. You know, I got great friends. And, you know, even though, you know, you guys, I bust, you know, we work, but, you know, when I through my eyes, I see good and bad. And, you know, all you guys are good, good, good people. And that's why I said something. I said, you know, people, you hear the one guy I said to you, I mentioned, I said, you know, everybody's concerned about the United States and the world and the youth. And I said, right here, you guys represent the best. And, you know, if everybody was like you guys, we'd have no problems, you know. So it was good.
We
but
try.
But anyway, yeah, other than, you know, you didn't listen to me when I told you not to go, you know, into the mud, but you did. But, you know, I tell you what, when what was going through my mind, I saw you guys sitting out there. I'm like, I hope they have enough brains to jump out and push the frigging boat. And what you got to do is if it didn't move with you, then you would have had to get out. And you would have been able to drag it. And you would have dragged, you could have dragged that boat all the way. And then, you know, I would have had Brown or something. I would have said, guys, take your clothes off and get in the water. And then if they couldn't do it, I'd be taking my stuff. What we would have dragged her in.
Lifeguard rescue.
We would have dragged her in.
We would have swam out a rope can.
We would have dragged her in. But, no, it was good. So, you know, the whole thing was really, really good. The speeches were good. Of course, her daughters, the speeches that her two daughters gave. I like the one. I like what she said when she goes. Now, you know, everybody knows, you know, Virginia's very tall. She's taller than I am by, you know, a long shot. And her daughters, I mean, everybody in that family, you know, I mean, they're you know, 6 foot. I mean, I don't know how they're Amazon. They're big. And so the one daughter gets up there and she goes, I'm going to keep this short and sweet, just like Mike. It took me like 1 or 2 seconds to get the joke. I thought that was pretty funny. That was cute.
Have you always been into the tall women?
Nah, not really. But I've dated, you know, quite a few, you know. It never intimidated me, you know. I mean, I didn't think, you know. I feel, you know, it's
when
funny.
When you were telling us before about what it's like going out to dinner with all of them, and you're just sitting there looking up to everybody.
Yeah, when
Virginia wears heels.
Oh, I can't even kiss her. I have to get on my tippy toes. But, you know, and her daughter. But, you know, the funny thing is, you think about it, when you're really tall like that, it's not, you know, you limit the amount of guys or girls that you go out with. You know, if you're a 6'2" foot girl, you know, I mean, it's tough to go out with a guy who's 5'9". You know, I mean, there's not a lot of guys who, you know, now your pool is going down. You need to date people who are really tall or taller than you. And, you know, so if you have to make compromise. It's funny because I talked to Virginia, you know, she's very tall, and all her daughters. And they said all through their life, they get tired of people saying, oh, how tall are you? You know, they actually get kind of down on it. There was a couple, you know, videos about how it gets to be a real pain in the ass when you're really tall. Especially
the grass is always greener type thing.
Yeah.
Sean and I were actually talking about a friend that we have that literally the most handsome person a lot of us know, sick athlete. But everyone's always coming up to him and saying, oh, man, like, you're the greatest athlete. Oh, man, like, you're so good looking. Oh, man, this, that. And I could just see how he would just be like,
yeah, there's more to him.
Like, yeah, I'm not just this, like, chiseled, beautiful face with a great body. Yeah. You know, like, I'm smart. I have other things to me. Yeah.
But, you know, when Virginia, you know, I mean, you know, she's very pretty now, but, you know, especially years ago, she walks in a room. You know, she's with her heels on. I mean, she's just, you know, it's a show shopper. You know, so her daughters, you know, they're very pretty and they're tall. When you get,
I loved her look at the wedding. When she got on the boat, I was like, you look like you're getting married at Woodstock right now. She had like the flower.
That was the day. She wanted to go with the hippie look.
Yeah,
it was
awesome.
You know, that was our era.
You look pretty sharp in your suit too.
Yeah, yeah. We're a little bit younger. You know, so our days. You know, we graduated. You know, I graduated high school in 1976. So if you think about
Star Wars,
yeah, and in the 70s,
is that how you think about the world? Pre and post Star Wars, you're like AD.
I actually grade rookies DC? Now if they were born pre LeBron, so like pre LeBron in the NBA. I was like, geez.
My, you know, the funny thing is, I have a lot of reincarnations. You know, I went to high school then. So the 70s, late 70s, early 80s were cranking. I mean, that was this, you know, bicentennial, 200-year.
Bicentennial.
Yeah, bicentennial, excuse me. And the Vietnam War was finishing up. You know, it was a weird time. And then, of course, there was a lot of unrest. And then you came into the 80s. I was in school a lot of times with the 80s, you know. But the 90s were my, you know, probably solid lifeguarding. Those 10 years, the 90s. And, I mean, already I was a doctor, I was practicing, and I was working on the beach.
That was your prime.
And that was, you know, some really crazy years and good years and some big storms. You know, 2000,
So were you, like, in your late 30s?
Mid-30s. Let me see. Right around when I...
So you're 18
2000, I was about 39, 40, you know.
Okay.
So the, 46, so that makes sense. Yeah, I was, like, just not even turned 40 yet. And then, of course, I got divorced in 2000. And then, you know, those years, you know, the economy took a crapper in 2008. But bottom line is that the years on the beach patrol were really the 90s, you know, and just recently. But the but Virginia, her era was a little bit later. But the hippie deal, and, you know, she kind of likes that. And I thought that was pretty nice. That was all her deal. You know, the dress, I thought she had a beautiful dress. And it was her idea. It was her idea about the boat again.
Was her dress like an off-white? I feel like it wasn't totally. Like,
yeah, I don't know. It actually had a long train to it, and she had it, you know, redone. Yeah, I don't know.
I remember being relieved when I saw her dress, because like if like a anything got on it, it wouldn't have been able to notice. If it were just like a clean, totally white dress. Like the lace, and I think there was a little bit of off-white going on in there.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, you know. I don't think we made sure
we cleaned the shit out of that boat before she got in there.
Yeah, yeah, she looked fine.
We had the Clorox wipes.
And then we got it all muddy when I jumped down and jumped back in.
So he got out of the boat. He had the biggest dirt stain on his ass, and I was just like, I am responsible for this.
I saw somebody jump in. You know what it is, though? A lot of people couldn't see that it was stuck because it was behind the bushes. Like, the trees were, you know. The other thing is, a lot of people didn't know where she was coming from. They were waiting for her to come from the back. They're like, well, where is she?
That's pretty cool, though.
Because I didn't tell everybody about the boat. And then they see this boat, and they're like, oh. And then they see her, and they're like, so the priest, let me get back to the pastor. So he, you know, I went to a Catholic school, but we go to a Christian, you know, church. It's called Abundant Life out up in Freehold. And Pastor Chris.
Are you and Virginia on the same page, like, religiously?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We go to the same church. Oh, yeah. No. You listen, you have a hard time marrying somebody or being with somebody if you're not in the same religion, kind of same politics, economically, you know, close. You know, because what breaks up marriages or anything, relationships, is, you know, money. You don't be violent. But also, you know, if you, you know, cheating, stuff like that. But, you know, religion breaks up a lot of families, you know. So, no, we're on the same page. But so the pastor, we've been going to that church for years, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. I don't remember now. And he gives the best sermons. He's very professional. You know, he's not like...
Is that the guy that like married you guys?
Not selling, you know, oil. You know, he's not one of those...
Selling,
you know,
snake oil?
No. I mean, they live... Him and his family, they live a very modest life. And I mean, he's just good. You know, you could see.
He's not like that Joel Osteen dude.
No. You know those guys. Yeah, those guys are gonna burn in hell.
What do they call them? Evangelists.
Yeah. I don't know. They're shaky guys. Anyway,
that guy. You know, didn't he not open his fucking arena for like a hurricane or something? But for a shelter.
But so what happened is, so people who watched when we do the videos, you'll see the pastor, and he gave such an unbelievable sermon. I think it was you know, really good. And people who, you know, go to church often and have a pastor, you know, talk to them, they told me, they go, that guy was unbelievable. So, you know, we had somebody who's really, really good. That's another important thing. You know, it's nice to have somebody up there. You could get, you know, somebody's uncle or, you know, make it, you know, not really professional. But this guy runs a big church. So what are we going
to
say?
I think you're getting to the point where he said that was the first time you saw anyone do that with the bride.
Right. So while she's coming in, and he goes, Mike, he goes, I've been to hundreds and hundreds of weddings. He goes, I've never seen anything like that coming in with the boat, you know, because they always come down the aisle.
So, guys,
you know,
we're thinking about making it a potential business opportunity. We're going to start rowing brides to weddings, if anyone knows.
On a more serious note, now that we have you as our captive audience catch, we've been batting about the idea of doing like a serious distance row in that boat, dressed exactly how we were dressed, and trying to like raise some money for something like suicide awareness.
It's not a bad idea.
So if you have any doctor buddies that, you know, want to throw us a few shekels to do that, I think we should start seriously thinking about that.
That'd be something to do good in the spring, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, not right now.
Take that. But we got to, if we do that, that's something we really have to start like digging our heels
in. And I tell you, you know, it'd be really ASAP. good. You started out in, you could start out in Seaside Heights. You could go through the canal, through Ortley Beach there, into Lavalette around West Point Island, in the cove, and either end up West Point or come back. You know,
we're thinking like the entire length of New Jersey over two or three days.
I could do that.
You'll kill yourself.
What do you mean? No, someone already did that. This summer they did that.
Well, you know, I mean,
and it was for Lyme's disease.
He doesn't think we could do it.
Yeah.
I think though, you know, you got a lot of variables. But I can tell you what though, the idea is good. You know, me, I would have a 1-day event, build it up, and it could be really good, and have a little party afterwards. And you know what really works well for people to make a lot of money is like the polar bear plunge. You market it. You have it where people can see it, and you don't have to row. You don't have to do that. If you row, like, you know, from, you know, a couple miles and come back, just the idea of doing it is really pretty neat. You know,
but
like
we want an extreme
distance challenge.
And if we row to like where we think like a headquarters is for a beach patrol, we could pull out our phone and take a picture and tag the.
We could do it all in the bay,
right?
Like the whole way up the bay.
Right.
How far do you think? Do you think we could get from, like, where is it, Cape May to Sandy Hook, it'd all on the days. Inside. Do you think we could do it in 24 hours of rowing?
No, no.
You don't think
first
so?
First of all, no. You're not going to be
24
able,
hours of no. nonstop listen, rowing. Listen, you don't think we can pull that off?
First of all, you're not going to be able to row 24 hours. You'll die out. Yeah, the other thing is, yeah, the other thing is, what'll happen is you got to worry about weather and the wind, and it could be really nasty. You could get so windy there, you're not even going to row against it. You'll be blowing all over the place. But I think it's a great idea. We have to get the specifics. You know, we could talk about it. But I want to what I wanted to ask you guys, because I think it's getting time, we could pack it in. We're going to do a video. We'll take a clip from here or two. But you guys are going to work on a video for the wedding. And I really we're waiting for people to send us videos. We're putting everything together. And we got a lot more stuff, so we're gonna show it out there. Maybe we'll even do a little bit more next week with the show, with the wedding. This could be really good. But anyway, thank everyone for watching.
Next time you get married, we're on the payroll.
We're on the payroll. No, you yeah. guys did a great job. Well, you know, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of moving parts, right? And you know,
we get asked to row a boat, and it turns into us spending our whole weekend moving beer and pallets and rocks.
Well, I appreciate you guys. I couldn't have done without you. And we got to give a shout out again to Brown, Jesse Brown. We had
Nick Tomasello, Kenny Doherty. Who else is there? Frank
the Tank Guadagno.
And
Frank's last name again.
Guadagno.
Frank's. I tell you what, I know I cut around him on the beach. He's a class. I love. I mean, you know, all those guys were there are solid. You know, and that's why
we surround ourselves.
With them. Well, that's the thing. You know, you want to be successful. It was good. And what I did is, I let Tyler. I asked Tyler to pick the guys who work together. And but the thing is, we all go to Jesse Brown. Jesse Brown's the go guy because he could pick her up and carry her if he had to. He's so big, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he was there. But anyway. Sean, thank you for
no problem for
helping out, and Tyler, and
if you want to stay alive, then maybe you should stay out.
And how about we put down Dr. Kachmar iCloud.com? Can you throw that?
Yeah, if you want to email us, send an email to drkachmar@icloud.com or lifeguardsoffduty@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at lg.association. We're making the march towards 1,000. Help us get there. What else do we want to shout
1K.
Out? Shout out to Spark to Player Development, one of our pseudo sponsors. I got a couple t-shirts from them. Anything else, Sean?
Walden on the Pond, if anybody wants to go to
shout out to Walden on the Pond, Jersey Shore Foot and Leg Center. If you need any surgery, hit up my guy, Dr. Michael Kachmar. He'll get you right.
All right. Thank you very much. Everyone, have a beautiful day and stay out and stay alive. Stay out and stay alive. All right.
Stay out,
send us out.